coming up Sunday, July 28th. You can join your favorite Baltimore Oriole in Swinging for Impact at Topgolf's Baltimore location. It's hosted by Orioles players Austin Hayes and our next guest, center fielder for the Orioles, Cedric Mullins. And Cedric, thank you as always for joining us. We will talk about the Topgolf Challenge in a moment. But I wanted to ask you, we were talking about you on MLB Network the other day, and they were saying that they said they talked to you recently, and they said you're finally getting normal sleep because you had a baby recently. How much has your sleep schedule changed, and how much does sleep mean to you? And is that a part of your rebirth at the plate?
Yeah, I can definitely put some credit to that. First of all, thanks for having me again.
Yes, sir.
But having my first kid, little girl, sleep schedule's been all over the place. But me and the wife having those discussions, figuring out a way for me to, get the necessary sleep for me to be as physically active as I am every day. It's been a big transition, but we're doing what we can.
Well, Cedric, you guys have BP yesterday. You're back out in Seattle. How long before you glanced over to where you hit that bomb last year, and did it feel being good? Feel good being back there?
Yeah, as soon as I stepped on the field, that game from last year definitely came back to memory, and it was definitely a cool moment. I had a bunch of fans out there, asking me to not do it to them again. But no, it was definitely fun to go back out there yesterday in Seattle, and looking forward to tonight's game too.
Cedric, what gives you a bigger smile, the homer or the catch?
Whew. Oh, man. If everything went the way it was, we would have ended up losing that game on back-to-back homers. So, the catch has to be, the highlight of that situation. It was just crazy. The atmosphere, it was a playoff atmosphere out there. Just an incredible moment.
Said about last night. I mean, what's it like going into? I mean, it was a pitching duel, but from a batter's perspective, one of those games where you really have to grind it out, and of course, you driving in a really important second run.
Yeah, like you said, Grayson did a heck of a job last night, and Kirby's a tough opponent on their end. And for us to come up with timely hits, that's really what it was yesterday. We were able to get some guys going. On the bases, and it was just a matter of cashing them in. We were able to do that.
We're talking to Cedric Mullins. It's Inside Access here on the Fan. Did you say, well, Kowser hit that ball right there, I might as well just put it in the same spot because that looks like a good spot?
Yeah. I was like, shoot, I think Westy might have hit his relatively the same spot too. Like, hey, we're just keeping the trend going. Finding holes, they would pull out a win on a tight scoring game.
It did have a playoff feel, and we're watching these games, and one of us is usually tweeting every time you get on base, go get second, go get second. Cal Raleigh, though, that throw, I haven't seen a better throw with you taking a base in a while, and the location of that and the velocity and everything. When that happens, is there a part of you that's like, all right, I'm going to back off or respect that, or is there a bigger part of you that's like, I want to challenge that thing again?
Yeah, I've had a few moments where I'll get thrown out in the game, and I definitely go for a second attempt. He made a heck of a throw. Like, as soon as I went in, I checked to see how good the jump was. It was solid. It was just a tip of the cap to him for making a hell of a throw.
Cedric, these last 3 weeks, I mean, you're one of the hottest, if not the hottest hitter on the Orioles right now. Was there a breakthrough moment for you? I mean, things can snowball in a negative way, but then, can also snowball in a positive way as well.
Yeah, during the midst of that struggle, I think the most frustrating part was just knowing that I was close to finding what was going to get me to having success. It was just a matter of continuing to grind through it, getting in, doing my early work, and then finally something had clicked, and it was just a matter of hanging on to it, jotting it down in my notebook, keeping up with how I felt, and moving forward from there.
Cedric, Grayson Rodriguez had it working last night. What's it like playing behind him when he's dealing like that?
Oh, when he's going like that, it's really impressive. I think his changeup was probably his best pitch last night. Fastball was getting up to 98. you know, he was definitely keeping those guys off balance. He had a heck of a night.
You guys are on a very similar pace to last year, but it's kind of different, right? Once you win that division, you win 100 games, the team gets to the playoffs with expectations. People always talk about the difference between being the hunter or the hunted. Being the hunted doesn't seem to have fazed you guys or affected you whatsoever.
No, I think that comes from just knowing that, you know, every time that we face a team, they're going out there trying to bring their best, and we're right there along with them. So it's always, you know, some really good matches that we come across, and, you know, even teams that might be having down years tend to play some of their ball against us. So it's just it comes with the territory, and, you know, we've been doing really well handling it.
To go deeper with that, Cedric, just the national love that you guys have gotten recently, playing on Fox Saturday, Sunday Night Baseball on Sunday. Cam was mentioning MLB Network talking about you guys.
All the time.
What's it like being under the microscope, you know, nationally?
No, super cool. You know, I think based off of, like, the All-Star voting, you know, we had six guys move past phase one, which was super cool to see. That kind of goes along with that national recognition. You know, we're putting guys on the map in terms of their ability to play this game at the highest level, and, you know, it's super cool to be a part of.
We're talking to Cedric Mullins, Inside Access here on The Fan. Cedric, for me personally, as a lifelong Baltimore and Oriole fan my whole life, what I love is you guys have no fear. And Yankee Stadium in the past has been a house of horrors for this franchise, even before you became an Oriole. Like, what is the mood in that clubhouse that you guys go into a place that has basically intimidated some people, and you're like, for lack of a better term, F that, we're going to go take what's ours?
Yeah, I know what you mean by that feeling. Like, my first, you know, couple times going to Yankee Stadium, just the atmosphere that the fans bring can definitely bring some nerves to go along with it. But I think the past couple years, we've really just been dialed in on playing our best baseball, you know, going out there, leaning on each other to come through in big moments. And, you know, when everyone's going at the same time, we really do some damage to guys. And it's been you know, just kind of feeling that transition over the years is it's really cool. That means our focus is there, our intensity is there, and we're just locked in on what we're trying to do.
Well, the schedule makers haven't done you guys a ton of favors lately in a lot of different ways. And I know that flying, you know, cross-country late Sunday night, that day off Monday is not a traditional sort of day off. But how good did it feel to just get off your feet for a day and not, you know what I mean, not be at the ballpark?
Yeah, I think we had like 40-something games, 42 games in 44, 45 days. That's tough for anybody. So for us to go out there, and you can kind of see that the fatigue was kicking in, you know, but being at this level, you got to push through that. And we knew that there was a light at the end of the tunnel. We had a couple of off-days coming up, but we had to continue to put some wins on the board. So, you know, kudos to our guys to going out there and competing every day. Because there is something to play for.
Cedric, Heston Kerstad got the call up recently, last week or so. Have you noticed anything different from Heston this go around as opposed to the first call up?
Yeah, you mentioned fearless earlier. I think he's got that in him, you know, to come up and not be afraid to take his chances on being aggressive in the zone. You know, it's definitely been paying off for him. And, you know, it's good to see. You know, didn't have the best night last night, but, you know, those days are going to happen. You know, but to see him come up and be aggressive, have some big moments for us, you know, really just staying locked in, it's been impressive.
Cedric, before we get to the event coming up, do you feel like the front office is building these guys in a lab? Like, they're almost all left-handed. They look similar. They come up. They can all rake. Like, is Mike Elias got, like, a lab in the warehouse where he's building these guys?
I'm pretty sure there's some top secret deal going on out there. I'm not a part of that, so I'm the wrong guy. So
you're above your pay grade.
They pick a lot of talented guys to come in and really, you know, make an immediate impact on the team. And you know what? I think that's been kind of their focus, to have guys that can come in and, you know, really get through the minor leagues pretty quick to make a big league impact.
Cedric, you got this big event swinging for impact on July 28th. Let the people know what's going on.
Yeah, so, you know, the proceeds of the event are going to the City of Refuge, Baltimore, which is, you know, to help families who are struggling just kind of across the board. And, you know, it's a fun event to be out, have a good time, enjoy some time with the families and the players. You know, we'll have a few guys coming out, me and Austin included. And if you want more information on that, you go to www.bigleagueimpact.org/topgolfbaltimore. And, you know, I'm looking forward to it. We did the event last year with Gibson while he was with us, and it was great. Had a great time. You know, you kind of lost track of time just because of how fun we had. So, and again, you know, for a great cause, continuing to push the betterment of Baltimore, which is something we're striving for.
Yeah, for more information, as Cedric said, you go to the website, but you can enjoy an evening of camaraderie and competition alongside your favorite Orioles players. Individual tickets start at $250 or $400 for a pair of golfers. Each ticket includes golf with an Oriole player, food, and three drink tickets for beer and wine. There will also be a cash bar. The winning team will take home a three-month Topgolf Platinum Elite membership for six. So
spicy.
Fun and competition all in one, Cedric. So that's pretty cool.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we always like to bring that competitive edge to it. I think it just makes things more fun, you know, having a good time. You know, someone's got to walk away a winner. That's just how competition is, but it's going to be a great time.
Well, Cedric, I will tell you, I can speak for all of us here. The Orioles are more fun when you're raking, so continue the success. Thank you so much for your time, and yeah, appreciate it, and continue raking.
Oh, appreciate you guys. Thanks for having me again.
Thank you, sir. Enjoy Seattle. Go get them. Oh, yeah. Rip their hearts out again, Seth. You got it in you. I know. Yeah, big night tonight.
Yeah.
It's there.
Thanks, Cedric. Cedric Mullins of the Baltimore Orioles will come back. A little bounce back, fall back coming at you next here on The Fan.
Last bounce back, fall back for a couple weeks. Jason going on vacation. But before we get to this week, let's look back to last week. We know Albert Suarez was throwing BP prior to his last start. Suarez completes five innings. Both you guys fell back on that. He went six. Jason, you said 67 pitches to get through four. Cole Irvin completes five innings. He did not. Yeah. He went 3 2/3. Both you guys fell back. Jason, you said 4 2/3.
Trying to will it into existence, Bone. Yeah.
Heston Kjerstad homers again over the next week. He did twice. Both you guys bounced back. And Jason?
I believe I said twice. I was thinking about that driving in today.
You said he homered twice in the Rangers series. So give him a round of applause.
I didn't call the Grand Salami?
No.
I didn't call
just,
that?
It just says homers
twice. I thought
maybe
twice. I did.
You almost got to the Jimmy twice. Butler points level.
I wouldn't be acknowledged even if I did.
Yeah. Well, dude, Jimmy Butler points. I mean, that's something you strive for, but you can't reach. Mm-hmm. Kimbrel, two saves. He did. Back-to-back against the Rangers. Also had a save last night. Both you guys bounced back. Ryan Mountcastle, homers. Hadn't homered since June 7th. Still hasn't.
No, he's just sick, Bone. He's sick.
Jason, you fell back. Ken, you bounced back.
Yeah, I'm an optimist.
Cade Povich delivers a quality start. He did not. He did get his first win. Went five innings, two earned. Jason, you bounced back. He said 6 3/3, 5 Ks, 3 walks, 2 earned runs on a 2-run homer by Adolis Garcia, and he gets the win. Ken, you just bounced back. Grayson.
You got the win.
Eight or more strikeouts, and you guys were saying that was a big number. He did it anyways. Ken, you fell back. Jason, you bounced back. And, of course,
me and Beltway Ben, we believed.
He got the 8 strikeouts. So
this feels like an ass-kicking.
Yeah, you were due.
5-3.
It's an ass-kicking.
You were due.
I wouldn't call it an ass-kicking. I mean, it wasn't a close win, but I wouldn't say an ass-kicking.
I hit some on the dot, and I beat him by 2. And you don't want to acknowledge it.
He had a good week.
He had a good week.
I had to beat that out of you, but thanks.
All right. This week, and really we're kind of looking over the next 2 weeks because by the time you're back, it'll be the All-Star break, Jason. So Mike
Berhalter will be out of my life. Razor Ramon, perhaps out of my life.
Well, we'll get to that. Mike Elias.
The crotch rocket in my life? I don't know.
Mike Elias pulls off a trade of substance. A trade of substance. I'm not talking.
What is a trade of substance, Bone? Can you define it for me?
Someone that is going to help this team in October.
Why don't you just say he makes a trade before Jason gets back? Because substance, that's subjective.
It is subjective, but I'm saying if someone's DFA'd, if it's a way.
It's a non-DFA trade.
Yes. That happens. prior to
a week from you, Monday when
prior
I'm back.
To you. Yes, correct. Jason,
I'm gonna say no bone.
Okay,
I am bone in on this bone.
I'm gonna say Ramon gets DFA traded for Ramon. Kobe Mayo coming up.
Well,
but that doesn't count.
Question.
That DFA doesn't traded. Count. That's okay. Not so, that does that doesn't
that is not a trade.
That doesn't meet bone substance standard.
The Barbalay standard no, is not yes.
It's not. Well, that's my next question. Kobe Mayo debuts before Jason's back, so before the All-Star break, Ken.
I predicted this at Pickles last week. When Jason gets back from the Outer Banks, Kobe Mayo will be an Oriole. So I'm bouncing back.
I'm just thinking of their schedule. So they've got, they're in Oakland.
I think
they come
home,
they start a homestand.
Cubs, Yankees,
that week
Cubs,
I'm out.
Yankees.
And then it's All-Star break.
Yes.
He's here for that Yankee series.
Oh! Here? So he debuts during the Yankee series?
At the latest, he's here when that series starts. Maybe here they maybe he's in for the Cubs series too.
Series
but he's here by the Cubs starts. by the Yankee series.
I think he's here when they get home.
And he hits a homer in his first game.
Wow. Oh, okay, hold on. And
he goes full gunner.
Homers in his first game. Okay.
Into the Orioles bullpen.
Into the Orioles bullpen. Does anyone catch it in the bullpen?
Cino Perez.
Okay. Cino,
with his hat.
Cino does catch him a lot.
All right. He catches Cino it with catches his mullet. It,
yeah. Catches it with his
no,
mullet.
No, he doesn't catch it with okay, his mullet. That degree of danger there is I don't want him trying to catch anything
with
his mullet.
Orioles currently lead the Yankees by one game in the American League East. The Orioles will head into the All-Star break, Jason, with a lead of three games or more.
Three and a half.
I don't think they can get the half unless of rainout.
Well, they can get a half if they well if the
they're
Yankees...
playing the same amount of games.
Oh, are they?
They're playing the same amount of games.
Three and a half.
Wow.
All right. You want me to say it again, Bone? I can say it. How many times you need to hear it before you put it in your damn little notebook there?
Three and a half games. Okay.
Will you have a new laptop by the time I come back?
Three and a half.
I say no.
I don't.
I say no. What? You keep trying to give mouth to mouth to the one he's got.
Yes.
That was fun watching him perform surgery on that thing at Pickles the other day. I'm going to bounce back as well. I think he will. I think they will.
Cedric continues the hot streak. If he homers, he'll become the eighth Oriole this season with double-digit homers. It will happen prior to the All-Star break. Ken?
Bounce back. He'll get at least one homer before the All-Star break.
Bone?
He's getting sleep.
Cedric will homer in Seattle. He will not be sleepless in Seattle. He will not be homerless in Seattle.
Seattle. Oh, look at you.
He will homer. Oh. It's a big ballpark in Oakland.
He will homer
twice.
Twice.
In the A's series.
A's series. Any during the
homestand?
And
he will homer at least twice during the homestand.
Twice during. So just, you're saying five homers in the next. That's five doing that math.
Yeah, let's go for it.
Okay.
Right. Go big or go home.
Five homers.
I'm going to say this. That's a bold prediction. If it hits, Bone won't acknowledge it.
No. He'll completely downplay it.
Mm-hmm. Albert Suarez, we expect him to stay in the starting rotation. He allows two earned runs or fewer in his next start, which takes place in Oakland. Assuming stay on schedule. So that is Jason.
Bone, I'm going to say he gives us six innings. But it's four earned.
Ooh.
Brent Rooker, three-run homer. He doesn't pitch terribly, but he laps in control, walks
Brent
a couple guys.
Rooker
takes him out, but those do some damage in that game, too, and he still gets the win.
Okay. Still.
Bone, I think he gets the bare minimum for a quality start, which is not good enough for your assignment.
Okay,
six innings, three earned, so a fallback.
Bare minimum for QS. And Orioles. Since 2000, the most amount of All-Stars they've had, five. That happened in 2013 and 2016. Orioles have six
Oof.
All-Stars. Ken.
Let me think.
He got six in phase two right now.
Yeah.
Of course, that doesn't include the pitching. And you were mentioning Kimbrel.
Yeah, I think Kimbrel and Burns are in. That's two. Adley's three. Gunner's four. I don't think they get six. They might get five. I'm going to fall back here.
I think they get four. Burns, Gunner, Adley, and then one other one.
Burns.
My gut instinct is Tony Taters.
Kimbrel's getting in. So if you that, then you got five.
You Taters. Say Kimbrel's getting in. There's a lot of close. Everybody's got a closer.
20 saves.
How many Oakland A's are making this team? Mason, the closer is.
Yeah, but they're going to throw
that's
seven.
One off the table.
There'll be seven closers.
Is the Guardians closer going to make it?
Yes, Class
I mean,
A.
Like we can keep going down the line. Like if he's back healthy, is the Mariners closer going to make it?
I don't know.
Oh, he's pretty damn good. Yeah. I think he will. I don't know.
That is it. For Bounce Back, Fall Back. Coming up next, very special visit with our friend Tim Murray from VSiN. He's traveling cross-country.
With his dog.
With his dog. We'll talk to him. We'll also start to look at our second IA Hall of Fame class. That's next here on The Fan. It's a Wednesday, and what Wednesday? Wednesdays don't go right unless we have our buddy Tim Murray from VSiN on with us, and Tim joins us now. And this is a special edition. Tim Murray, of course, from VSiN. Where are you, Tim?
I don't know. I'm in Pennsylvania somewhere.
Okay.
Just crossed through West Virginia on my way to the Scranton-Wilkes-Barre area. So this is day four, gentlemen, on the excursion across the United States.
There's light at the end of the tunnel, though, now. I mean, if you're on the Pennsylvania Turnpike, you got to, like, I'm guessing you're getting your second win, a little bit of an adrenaline rush. Like, you can see the goalpost at the end of your eyesight line here.
You know, it's all about how you put things in perspective, JLC, because I got, like, 5.5 hours left. And some people will be like, man, 5.5 hours, that's a long ways to go. Well, when you've been driving for 30-plus hours, I'm like, yeah, this thing's almost over.
Right. Home stretch, yeah, buddy, home stretch.
Yeah, we're good. I mean, we're in good shape, you know. I got a little low on gas and had to take a quick turn into Bel Air, Ohio, which, you know, God bless the people of Bel Air, Ohio, but it's an interesting little town. So that was a unexpected turnoff, but all in all, you know, we got to enjoy the beautiful Rocky Mountains for a little bit, and then drove through Nebraska, Kansas, or Nebraska, Iowa, and into Illinois and Indiana, and that's pretty much the same scenery the entire way.
Well, Tim, you were saying you were going to use this time to prep for the upcoming college football season. I mean, you got any nuggets you want to share with the people?
Yeah, we can run through a couple here, Tim. So I just put out the most recent podcast, the VSiN College Football Betting Podcast, which is a great listen for all of you heading on their 4th of July trips to the Bethany Beach or Ocean City. And it was kind of fun running through it, guys, where – if you look at history and all of the Heisman Trophy winners, essentially have gotten to the point. I know Devontae Smith won the Heisman Trophy in 2020, but basically it has become a quarterback award. Mm-hmm. 18 of the Heisman Trophies won this century have been quarterbacks. And more often than not, you're going to be on a, you know, a playoff team. However, Jaden Daniels, Caleb Williams, the last two were not playoff team. So, you know, I'm really tempted, and I actually have put a little bet on Nico Imaleava, the big-time five-star recruit at Tennessee. But what I figured out, guys, was as the year goes on, we could probably just get a better price on them as the year goes on. Like, Jaden Daniels, we could have got it like 40-1 after they lost week one to Florida State. Caleb Williams, we could have got at a really good price in 2022. So, basically, I would say look for a long shot now, whoever that may be, whatever floats your boat. And then when it comes to, like, Carson Beck of Georgia, Quinn Ewers of Texas, Jackson Dart of Ole Miss, you're probably going to get a decent price at some point during the season. So that was kind of ultimately what I came to the conclusion of, was you're going to find different times. It was fun, though, going back and checking out, like, RG3, the year he won the Heisman Trophy in 2011 with Baylor, he was 75-1 to win the Heisman and won the Heisman. You know, unique spots. Lastly, Tim, we're going to go under on UCLA. So,
Oh, I think
Pennsylvania got him.
Yeah,
he got turnpike. Oh. There for the Bruins.
Oh,
we got. We lost. Did you lose me?
We did
for a second. Yeah, you were almost gone, and then you came back.
All right, we're back. Real quickly, UCLA under 5.5 at DraftKings. We're going to go under on the newbie to the Big Ten.
How's the pup doing?
Yes.
Pop's doing great, man. He's sitting back here. He's got the whole back row to himself. He's about to go swim in the lakes of the Poconos. So he's
all right.
You know, he's living life, man. It's going to be 117 in Vegas on Monday. So, you know, he's pretty happy with me that I'm bringing him on this trip across the country.
Well, Tim Murray, when you're not driving cross country with the dog, let the people know where they can find you.
The VSiN College Football Betting Podcast is out now, and then next week back to the normal grind of 6 to 9 p.m. Eastern time on VSiN.
Tim,
thank you,
safe
sir.
Travels. Thank you, as always, for your time.
You're almost there, brother.
All right, boys. Happy 4th of July. See
Same
you
to you. Keep Thanks, the faith.
Man. So we'll take a couple minutes here. We are going to, when you get back and we get into the All-Star break, we are inducting our second class to the IA Hall of Fame.
Now, there are currently three inductees.
Yeah, Lucy Burge, Mark Viviano, and Bobby D.
Yes.
We are going to induct our second class coming up in the All-Star break. Now, how do we want to do it this time? The same way as last time?
I was thinking. Sometimes you're in the shower.
Yes.
Things kind of just come to you.
Shower thoughts.
So, obviously, the esteemed accounting firm of Chucks and Bucks is going to oversee the vote process.
Yeah.
I felt like it worked pretty well the last time. We each did what, like a top six?
Yes. Yeah.
We had a point system.
Rank them.
That Chuck gave us the final. Gave us the finalists and the winners.
Yeah.
I was wondering if maybe this time Chuck announces the top two, doesn't give out the numbers, and then just tells us three people, not in any exact order, who were the closest to making it, and then we put a poll out and let the people pick one, whoever wins out of the three, that becomes the third member of the class.
Hmm.
Is that spicy? Does that do anything for you guys?
I like fan interaction. Yeah, they get to choose.
And if one of the potential inductees is so motivated and they want to create a bunch of bots to vote for themselves, then so be it.
Yeah, they can. They can do that.
I still think something. How did we leave off? Like, is Cordell eligible?
I was thinking about that. I think Cordell and Rita are not eligible because they
are employees.
Employees, and they do a lot of work at the station.
How do we throw in a Mike Bordick or a Ryan Ripken?
They're celebrity employees. They're separate.
Yeah, I don't.
They're not day to day.
I think they're. I think
Jimmy's eligible. I think he's technically an employee.
Yeah, I think Jimmy Bort, like, because
Jimmy does not have a regular gig here.
No, he does
all
not.
Those
no.
other people you named have regular gigs.
That's fair. Regular gig, you're out,
right?
Yeah. Correct.
Man, so no Borty, no cut from the same cloth.
They're
don't employees.
Think so.
Yeah.
Okay. Ben, do you have any feeling on it?
I would agree. I would think if you like a. I mean, they're here more than most. Like, Jimmy's is not here much.
Jimmy doesn't have, he's not tethered here to any particular assignment or
Correct.
Show. Like,
yeah.
I consider him like a floating guest.
Okay. Yes.
Whereas these other guys, they've got BBT, they've got Shaking Up Sports, they've got Glenn and Rita or Rita and Glenn, whatever you want to call. I feel like that should probably take them out of the mix.
Them.
Now, look, Ryan Ripken is on a trajectory. So he'll be too big for this place in a couple years.
Yes.
And if he still returns our calls and comes on our show quasi-regularly, then I feel like he becomes eligible. If he's no longer a part of the BBT or whatever. Like, there's a Ripken who I feel like could be in the mix.
Yes, that would be
Bill. But it would be Uncle Bill.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, because Bill used to work for us.
But now it's a time. Time has passed.
Right. Yeah.
No, he's on other assignments.
It's been
he's no longer tethered to the station with any particular responsibility. I feel like he's fair game.
All right.
So what do we? So what? The All-Star game is All-Star Tuesday
break.
Night.
Yeah. Yes.
We'll
always on a Tuesday.
Wednesday or Thursday.
Do it Wednesday. Yeah. Wednesday. Like Wednesday.
Because they come back on Friday.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
So we'll do the voting then, and we'll put the third. We'll put two more in.
Yes.
And the people will put the sixth.
So that'll be people in. 3, 4, and 5. So the person that finished 6 is
I was thinking 3 instead of 4. Like, I don't know that we need to give people 4 options. I think we give them 3.
Yeah, that's fine. Though it will, because you don't have to tell the people how the voting.
No,
yeah.
The only people that will be privy to that information is the esteemed accounting firm of Chuck and Bucks.
Yes. No, I like that.
So those are ground rules. So we're good.
He gives us 1 and 2, and then we
he gives us the poll. You put these 3 in the poll.
Yes.
So there we go.
We don't know who the others voted for. Yes, that is perfect. And we'll do that when the All-Star break comes. So it's something to look forward
to.
2 weeks
from today.
2 weeks from, yes, from today.
Today's Wednesday.
Yeah, today's Wednesday. Yeah. 2 weeks from today, after the All-Star game, we will announce our next 3 members of the IA Hall of Fame. Coming up next, he's bigger than the Hall of Famer. He's the bone. And it's TMI with TIM. What you got?
Friend of the show, Mark Schlereth, had some comments that sent Twitter, Ravens Twitter a buzz yesterday about Lamar Jackson. Are we buying what he's selling? We'll tell you next on The Fan.
It's T-Bone time, TMI with TIM, and the floor is yours.
We know that some people like to say some negative things about Lamar Jackson, and should do this, he should do that. The goalposts constantly moved back when it comes to Lamar Jackson. And we also know, from a receiver standpoint, really hasn't had a ton of talent over the course of his career. But
don't tell Mr. EDC.
Mark Schlereth, man, he doesn't want to hear it.
I do not want to hear from all of you out there that are telling me that Lamar Jackson, well, they don't get him weapons. How many first-round wide receivers do you need to draft? Well, they're not drafting the right one. Well, you're not developing them. Well, how do you develop them? Well, your quarterback has a long way to go in developing wide receivers. So I don't want to hear that bullshit from you anymore.
Wow.
And you Baltimore fans, I'm tired of it. They drafted first round talent. They've drafted tight ends in the first round. They drafted 3 different wide receivers since 2018. Aaron Rodgers went, 16, 17 years with the Green Bay Packers? They never drafted a guy in the first round, whether it was a tight end or a wide receiver for him. So don't tell me about it. I mean, it's one of those things. Don't tell me about the pain. Show me the baby. Produce in the playoffs.
He's conflating 2 things here.
Yeah.
It's a Wednesday, and what Wednesday? Wednesdays don't go right unless we have our buddy Tim Murray from VSiN on with us, and Tim joins us now. And this is a special edition. Tim Murray, of course, from VSiN. Where are you, Tim?
I don't know. I'm in Pennsylvania somewhere.
Okay.
Just crossed through West Virginia. On my way to the Scranton-Wilkes-Barre area. So this is day 4, gentlemen, on the excursion across the United States.
There's light at the end of the tunnel, though, now. I mean, if you're on the Pennsylvania Turnpike, you got to, like, I'm guessing you're getting your second win, a little bit of an adrenaline rush. Like, you can see the goalpost at the end of your eyesight line here.
You know, it's all about how you put things in perspective, JLC, because I got like 5.5 hours left, and some people will be like, man, 5.5 hours, that's a long ways to go. Well, when you've been driving for 30-plus hours, I'm like, yeah, this thing's almost over.
Right. Home stretch, buddy, home stretch.
Yeah, we're good. I mean, we're in good shape, you know. I got a little low on gas and had to take a quick turn into Bel Air, Ohio, which, you know, God bless the people of Bel Air, Ohio, but it's an interesting little town. So that was a unexpected turn off. But all in all, you know, we got to enjoy the beautiful Rocky Mountains for a little bit. And then drove through Nebraska, Kansas, or Nebraska, Iowa, and into Illinois and Indiana. And that's pretty much the same scenery the entire way.
Well, Tim, you were saying you were going to use this time to prep for the upcoming college football season. I mean, you got any nuggets you want to share with the people?
Yeah, we can run through a couple here, Tim. So I just put out the most recent podcast, the VSiN College Football Betting Podcast, which is a great listen for all of you heading on their 4th of July trips to the Bethany Beach or Ocean City. And it was kind of fun running through it, guys, where if you look at history and all of the Heisman Trophy winners, essentially we've gotten to the point, I know Devontae Smith won the Heisman Trophy in 2020, but basically it has become a quarterback award. Mm-hmm. 18 of the Heisman Trophies won this century have been quarterbacks. And more often than not, you're going to be on a, you know, a playoff team. However, Jaden Daniels, Caleb Williams, the last two were not playoff teams. So, you know, I'm really tempted, and I actually have put a little bet on Nico Imaleava, the big-time five-star recruit at Tennessee. But what I figured out, guys, was as the year goes on, we could probably just get a better price on them as the year goes on. Like Jaden Daniels, we could have gotten like 40-1 after they lost week one to Florida State. Caleb Williams, we could have got at a really good price in 2022. So basically, I would say look for a long shot now, whoever that may be, whatever floats your boat. And then when it comes to like Carson Beck of Georgia, Quinn Ewers of Texas, Jackson Dart of Ole Miss, you're probably going to get a decent price at some point during the season. So that was kind of ultimately what I came to the conclusion of, was you're going to find different times. It was fun, though, going back and checking out, like, RG3, the year he won the Heisman Trophy in 2011 with Baylor, he was 75-1 to win the Heisman and, like, and won the Heisman Trophy. You know, unique spots. Lastly, Tim, we're going to go under on UCLA. So,
I think
Pennsylvania got him.
Yeah,
he got the turnpike there for the Bruins.
Oh,
we got you lost. Did you lose me?
We did for a second. Yeah, you were almost gone, and then you came back.
All right, we're back. real quickly, UCLA under 5.5 at okay. DraftKings. We're going to go under on the newbie to the Big Ten.
How's the pup doing?
Yes,
pup's doing great, man. He's sitting back here. He's got the whole back row to himself. He's about to, go swim in the lakes of the Poconos. So he's
all right.
You know, he's living life, man. It's going to be 117 in Vegas on Monday. So, you know, he's pretty happy with me that I'm bringing him on this trip across the country.
Well, Tim Murray, when you're not driving cross country with the dog, let the people know where they can find you.
The VSiN College Football Betting Podcast is out now, and then next week back to the normal grind of 6 to 9 p.m. Eastern time on VSiN.
Tim,
thank you,
safe
sir.
Travels. Thank you as always for your time.
You're almost there, brother.
All right, boys. Happy 4th of July. See
Same
you
to you. Keep Thanks, the man. Faith.
So we'll take a couple minutes here. We are going to, when you get back and we get into the All-Star break, we are inducting our second class to the IA Hall of Fame.
Now, there are currently three inductees.
Yeah, Lucy Burge, Mark Viviano, and Bobby D.
Yes.
We are going to induct our second class coming up in the All-Star break. Now, how do we want to do it this time? The same way as last time?
I was thinking. Sometimes you're in the shower.
Yes.
Things kind of just come to you.
Shower thoughts.
So, obviously, the esteemed accounting firm of Chucks and Bucks is going to oversee the vote process.
Yeah.
I felt like it worked pretty well the last time. We each did what, like a top six?
Yes. Yeah.
We had a point system.
Rank them.
Then Chuck gave us the final. Gave us the finalists and the winners.
Yeah.
I was wondering if maybe this time Chuck announces the top two, doesn't give out the numbers, and then just tells us three people, not in any exact order, who were the closest to making it, and then we put a poll out and let the people pick one, whoever wins out of the three, that becomes the third member of the class.
Hmm.
Is that spicy? Does that do anything for you guys?
I like fan interaction. Yeah, they get to choose.
And if one of the potential inductees is so motivated and they want to create a bunch of bots to vote for themselves, then so be it.
Yeah, they can. They can do that.
I still think how did we leave off, is Cordell eligible?
I was thinking about Rita. I think Cordell and Rita are not eligible because they
are employees.
And they do a lot of work at the station.
How do we throw in a Mike Bordick or a Ryan Ripken?
They're celebrity employees. They're separate.
Yeah, I don't.
They're not day to day.
I think they're. I feel like
Jimmy's eligible. I think he's technically an employee.
Yeah, I think Jimmy
Jimmy does not have a regular gig here.
No, he does not.
Other people you named have regular gigs.
That's fair. Regular gig, you're out,
right?
Yeah, correct.
Man, so no Bordy, no cut from the same cloth.
I don't think so.
Yeah.
Okay. Ben, do you have any feeling on it?
I would agree. I think they're here more than most. Like, Jimmy's is not here much.
Jimmy doesn't have, he's not tethered here to any particular assignment or show. I consider him like a floating guest.
Okay. Yes.
Whereas these other guys, they've got BBT, they've got Shaking Up Sports, they've got Glenn and Rita, or Rita and Glenn, whatever you want to call. I feel like that should probably take them out of the mix.
Them.
Now, look, Ryan Ripken is on a trajectory. So he'll be too big for this place in a couple years.
Yes.
And if he still returns our calls and comes on our show quasi-regularly, then I feel like then he becomes eligible. If he's no longer a part of the BBT or whatever. Like, there's a Ripken who I feel like could be in the mix.
Yes, that would be
Bill. But it would be Uncle Bill.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, because Bill used to work for us.
But now time has passed.
Right. Yeah.
On other assignments. He's no longer tethered to the station with any particular responsibility. I feel like he's fair game.
All right.
So what do we... So... What, the All-Star game is Tuesday night?
Yeah. Yes, always on a Tuesday.
Wednesday or Thursday.
Do it Wednesday. Yeah, Wednesday. Like, yeah, Wednesday.
Because they come back on Friday.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
So we'll do the voting then, and we'll put the third. We'll put two more in.
Yes.
And the people will put the sixth.
So that'll be people three, four, and five. So the person finished sixth is
I was thinking three instead of four. Like, I don't know that we need to give people four options. I think we give them three.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's fine. Though it will, because you don't have to tell the people how the voting.
No,
that's
the only people that will be privy to that information is the esteemed accounting firm of Chuck and Bucks.
Yes. No, I like that.
So those are ground rules. So we're good.
He gives us one and two, and then
he gives us the poll. You put these three in the poll.
Yes.
So there we go.
We don't know who the others voted for. Yes, that is perfect. And we'll do that when the All-Star break comes. So it's something to look forward
to. 2 weeks from today.
2 weeks from, yes, from today.
Today's Wednesday.
Yeah, today's Wednesday.
Yeah.
2 weeks from today, after the All-Star game, we will announce our next three members of the IA Hall of Fame. Coming up next, he's bigger than the Hall of Famer. He's the bone. And it's TMI with TIM. What you got?
Friend of the show, Mark Schlereth, had some comments that sent Ravens Twitter a buzz yesterday about Lamar Jackson. Are we buying what he's selling? We'll tell you next on The Fan.
It's T-Bone time, TMI with TIM, and the floor is yours.
We know that some people like to say some negative things about Lamar Jackson and, he should do this, he should do that. The goalposts constantly moved back when it comes to Lamar Jackson. And we also know, from a receiver standpoint, really hasn't had a ton of talent over the course of his career. But
don't tell Mr. EDC.
Mark Schlereth, man, he doesn't want to hear it.
I do not want to hear from all of you out there that are telling me that Lamar Jackson, well, they don't get him weapons. How many first-round wide receivers do you need to draft? Well, they're not drafting the right one. Well, you're not developing them. Well, how do you develop them? Well, your quarterback has a long way to go in developing wide receivers. So I don't want to hear that bullshit from you anymore.
Wow.
And you Baltimore fans, I'm tired of it. They drafted first-round talent. They've drafted tight ends in the first round. They've drafted three different wide receivers since 2018. Aaron Rodgers went, 16, 17 years with the Green Bay Packers? They never drafted a guy in the first round, whether it was a tight end or a wide receiver for him. So don't tell me about it. I mean, it's one of those things. Don't tell me about the pain. Show me the baby. Produce in the playoffs.
He's conflating two things here.
Yeah.
The playoff thing.
Yeah, absolutely.
There is no counter argument to. But The receivers are good because they were drafted in the first round. What under what logic? Has he not paid any attention to this franchise forever? It's not like any of the guys they've ever drafted high here went someplace else and all of a sudden became a thing, right? Like the closest would be Torrey Smith, and even then, where's Hollywood Brown? Oh yeah, he's on his second team since he left here on a nothing, you know, prove it contract. Like,
here are all the receivers and tight ends that Eric DaCosta has drafted since 2019. Marquise Brown, his first pick, first rounder. Miles Boykin in the third round. Devin Duvernay in the third round. James Prochet in the sixth. Bateman in the first. Tylan Wallace in the fourth. Isaiah Likely in the fourth. Charlie Kohler in the fourth. Zay Flowers in the first. And then Devontae Walker, who they just drafted. So
the year Lamar came out, they did take Hayden Hurst in the first round as
yeah,
well.
Yeah, but I'm saying yeah. Under Eric DaCosta, yeah. Where I just because you're – look, Ozzie Newsome didn't do a good enough job in trying to take swings with Joe Flacco here and trying to bring in receivers high. Eric DaCosta is taking swings, and he has said he is not afraid of continuing to swing, and we've seen three first-round picks at the receiver position, but, I mean, he got himself in hot water with one of his first-round picks, basically saying, well, if we knew what we were doing, you know, we wouldn't be talking about the receiver room.
Bateman came back here for nickels on the dime, pennies on the dime, half pennies on the dime. Hollywood Brown is a nothing burger. Now, he might be all right this year playing for his career and his future with Andy Reid, but they're obviously an outlier. Like, and then he brings up Aaron Rodgers. Devontae Adams had no quarterback last year and still led the league in touchdown receptions. Like, he was an absolute stud toggling between Aiden O'Connell and the carcass of Jimmy G and whoever the hell else they ran out there. Like,
he's just pointing
out. He's a freak show.
He was just pointing out he didn't get taken in the first round.
Who cares? Yeah. Like, he's a freak show. The Lamar's never played with half of that.
No.
So, like, we can get caught up. Like, I'll go back to our boy Prisco and his counter, right? Because he's shocked now that all these guys didn't agree with him. So his retort is, well, half of them don't know what they're doing and they don't draft the right guys anyway, which is true. So just because a guy was taken in the first round doesn't mean he's any good. Like, and it's not Lamar Jackson's job to try to make him into a thing if he's a nothing. And it's institutional here. That failure is woven into the fabric of two or probably really three iterations of their front office, in all honesty. Like, it's a blind spot. Perryman didn't become something when he left here. None of them.
He did have a decent.
He had a couple good games.
Yeah.
Like, stop. Stop. No, they mostly suck. You think Odell Beckham's going to have a renaissance this year? Or do you think that they just gave Odell Beckham way too much money way too late? I'm thinking that's probably what it was. So, and again, I'm not going to sit here and defend everything about Lamar. But I think he's got
argument.
Two arguments that he's trying to tie together that, for me, are disparate.
Well, we'll probably talk to Mark Schlereth during football season. That'll be fun. We'll get his thoughts.
Schlereth.
Yeah, I know. You can't say his name. Schlereth. Yeah, Mark. Schlereth. Yeah. You know me.
Just call him Stink.
Yeah. Hey, coming up next, this guy doesn't stink. He's an Oriole Hall of Famer. He's hosting BBT tonight with the Bone. It's Mike Bordick. We'll get his thoughts on the O's next here on The Fan. It's T-Bone time, TMI with TIM, and the floor is yours.
We know that some people like to say some negative things about Lamar Jackson, and, should do this, he should do that. The goalposts constantly moved back when it comes to Lamar Jackson. And we also know, from a receiver standpoint, really hasn't had a ton of talent over the course of his career, but
don't tell Mr. EDC.
Mark Schlereth, man, he doesn't want to hear it.
I do not want to hear from all of you out there that are telling me that Lamar Jackson, well, they don't get him weapons. How many first-round wide receivers do you need to draft? Well, they're not drafting the right one. Well, you're not developing them. Well, how do you develop them? Well, your quarterback has a long way to go in developing wide receivers. So I don't want to hear that bullshit from you anymore.
Wow.
And you Baltimore fans, I'm tired of it. They drafted first round talent. They've drafted tight ends in the first round. They drafted three different wide receivers since 2018. Aaron Rodgers went, what, 16, 17 years with the Green Bay Packers? They never drafted a guy in the first round, whether it was a tight end or a wide receiver for him. So don't tell me about it. I mean, it's one of those things. Don't tell me about the pain. Show me the baby. Produced in the playoffs.
He's conflating two things here.
Yeah.
The playoff thing.
Yeah, absolutely.
That is, there is no counter argument to. But the receivers are good because they were drafted in the first round. Under what logic? Has he not paid any attention to this franchise forever? It's not like any of the guys they've ever drafted high here went someplace else and all of a sudden became a thing, right? Like the closest would be Torrey Smith, and even then, where's Hollywood Brown? Oh yeah, he's on his second team since he left here on a nothing, you know, prove it contract. Like,
here are all the receivers and tight ends that Eric DaCosta has drafted since 2019. Marquise Brown is first pick, first rounder. Miles Boykin in the third round, Devin Duvernay in the third round, James Prochet in the sixth, Bateman in the first, Tylan Wallace in the fourth, Isaiah Likely in the fourth, Charlie Kohler in the fourth, Zay Flowers in the first, and then Devontae Walker, who they just drafted. So
the year Lamar came out, they did take Hayden Hurst in the first round as
well. Yeah, but I'm saying under Eric DaCosta, where I just because you're Ozzie Newsome didn't do a good enough job in trying to take swings with Joe Flacco here and trying to bring in receivers high. Eric DaCosta is taking swings, and he has said he is not afraid of continuing to swing, and we've seen three first-round picks at the receiver position, but, I mean, he got himself in hot water with one of his first-round picks, basically saying, well, if we knew what we were doing, you know, we wouldn't be talking about the receiver room.
Bateman came back here for nickels on the dime, pennies on the dime, half pennies on the dime. Hollywood Brown is a nothing burger. Now, he might be all right this year playing for his career and his future with Andy Reid, but they're obviously an outlier. Like, and then he brings up Aaron Rodgers. Devontae Adams had no quarterback last year and still led the league in touchdown receptions. Like, he was an absolute stud toggling between Aiden O'Connell and the carcass of Jimmy G and whoever the hell else they ran out there. Like,
he's just pointing
out. He's a freak show.
He was just pointing out he didn't get taken in the first round.
I don't know. Who cares? Yeah. Like, he's a freak show. Lamar's never played with half of that.
No.
So, like, we can get caught up. Like, I'll go back to our boy Prisco and his counter, right? Because he's shocked now that all these guys didn't agree with him. So his retort is, well, half of them don't know what they're doing and they don't draft the right guys anyway, which is true. So just because a guy was taken in the first round doesn't mean he's any good. Like, and it's not Lamar Jackson's job to try to make him into a thing if he's a nothing. And it's institutional here. That failure is woven into the fabric of two or probably really three iterations of their front office, in all honesty. Like, it's a blind spot. Perryman didn't become something when he left here. None of them.
He did have a decent.
He had a couple good games.
Yeah.
Like, stop. Stop. No, they mostly suck. You think Odell Beckham's going to have a renaissance this year? Or do you think that they just gave Odell Beckham way too much money way too late? I'm thinking that's probably what it was. So, and again, I'm not going to sit here and defend everything about Lamar. But I think he's got two arguments that he's trying to tie together that, for me, are disparate.
Well, we'll probably talk to Mark Schlereth during football season. That'll be fun. We'll get his thoughts.
Schlereth.
Yeah, I know. You can't say his name. Schlereth. Yeah. You know me.
Just call him Stink.
Yeah. Hey, coming up next, this guy doesn't stink. He's an Oriole Hall of Famer. He's hosting BBT tonight with the Bone. It's Mike Bordick. We'll get his thoughts on the O's next here on The Fan.